Isn't that true? Our minds could be gone somewhere. Even here in New Hope, we can. We can do the same thing, can't we? Singing a song of worship and our heads are out there somewhere. I hope the surf is still up by the time this church service is done. And what happens is God says, no, I want to build a perfect heart, not a half heart, not a separated heart, not a divided heart, not a fraction of a heart serving me, but a perfect heart.
Welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero. Today, part two of a Father's Day message Pastor Wayne gave a few years ago, but a message that applies to everyone because it speaks of having a heart toward God. It's not about our performance, not our skills, not our smarts that pleases God. It's our heart. Not our smarts, it's our hearts. Here's Pastor Wayne with the conclusion of the message, Father's Day, a heart of integrity.
But God's looking for a perfect heart. And you know, because of Abimelech having that perfect heart, God says, I'm going to take care of you and it'll work out. And he saved him. Saved him from death. Well, how do you build a perfect heart? Because it doesn't come as standard equipment when you're born. It's something you've got to build. You've heard people on the bionic man saying, let's build a perfect man, or let's build a perfect this, or let's build a perfect plan. I don't know how to do that, but this story gives us just some few hints on how to build, maybe not a perfect plan, but a perfect heart. With David, even though he made mistakes, he was someone defined as a man with a perfect heart. Why? Just like Abimelech, would you write number one right there? Because they understood ongoing repentance. One of the requirements to build now a perfect heart is you must understand ongoing repentance, a willingness to quickly repent because our heart strays. Let's read Isaiah 53 and verse 6. Ready? Go. All of us like sheep have gone astray. Each of us have turned to his own way. We all have a tendency to stray and make mistakes. But repentance simply is changing. When God shows the problem, you make the change. The question is, how long between God revealing to you the error and you making the change? How long is that? When I read that, I wrote in my journal, Wayne, how quick are you to repent? Does it take you a day, 2 days, 5 days? Boy, I was so convicted because sometimes I just think time will wash away my error. And the Lord says, no, if you're going to build a heart of integrity, you must be quick to repent. If you look at Abimelech, it says when God spoke to him and said, restore this man's wife, for he's a prophet and he'll pray for you. If you don't, you're going to die. It said very early the next morning, he made the transition. He understood what it meant to quickly repent. Of course, if he didn't, God said, I'll kill you. That's a pretty good motivation to repent. But nevertheless, sometimes the Lord says the same thing to us and we don't. And we see death. We see death. Death in our families. Death in a relationship with a wife or a son. All because God pointed out something that needed to be changed and we strayed and turned to our own way instead. And so then our heart was divided. So no longer do we have a perfect heart. But it's ongoing repentance, quick repentance, that builds that perfect heart. Do you understand that? Very simple. He's not looking for perfect performance. He's looking for men and women with perfect hearts. And it requires not necessarily an infallible lifestyle or a marriage without mistakes, but a marriage that when God speaks, there's quick repentance. How long does it take you to repent? And so when God speaks, there's an ongoing repentance. Only give heed to yourself, he says, and to keep your soul diligently. The first is an ongoing quickness to repent. The second is this. One of the best ways to find out what God is correcting in my life is what I call, number two, would you write down, honest reflection. Most of us don't take time anymore for honest reflection. We live in a fast-forward society, and we're so busy paddling that we don't take time to just stop and turn around and look and see if we're going in the right direction or not. We're so busy making a living, we don't make a life. And goods become our gods. And we're pulled towards that. And we just can't stop. And the Lord is saying, you need to pre-plan times of honest reflection. Let's read 2 Corinthians 13:5 together. Ready? Go. Test yourselves to make sure that you're solid in the faith. Don't drift along taking everything for granted. Give yourselves regular checkups. And if you fail the test, do something about it. Would you underline that? How quick are you to repent? Do something about it. Do something. You see, part of our faith, or solid in the faith, means that what we believe is what we are doing. That becomes a whole heart. Did you know that there's a society called the Wycliffe Bible Translators that translate the Bible into various languages and now are working on translating the Bible into the languages of the hidden people groups? And one of the scholars said, did you know that of the 20 most primitive languages of mankind, the word believe and do is the same word? It was only as man grew more sophisticated that they separated that concept into two and made two words about it, words from it, belief and do. Because what happens sometimes is what we believe, we don't do. We do a different thing from what we believe. So what happens is there's a half a heart in what we believe because we're doing something different. And what the Bible is saying, to develop a whole heart or a heart of integrity, when God shows us something that what we're believing, what we're not doing, when He shows us that inconsistency, we make the correction again. But that only comes with honest reflection. It's so important. I'll ride my motorcycle around the backside of the island. And I love to just sit on a rock there by overlooking Makapu and just to get what I call solitude, because that's one of the requirements of honest reflection. You can write that on the other side of your notes, the first bullet, solitude. And I sit there on a rock, and I just say, Lord, and I pray Psalm 139, would you search me, O God, and know my heart? Try me and see if there be any wicked way in me. And then lead me or correct me into your everlasting way. I'll ask myself, Wayne, are you a phony? Is there any phoniness inside of you? It's a hard question to ask because all of us, in us, there's a measure of phoniness. But to fess up to it is pretty tough for any of us. But it's in solitude when you're all alone, no one's around, and just between you and God, because you see, you can pull the wool over people's eyes, but you can't pull it over God's eyes. So you might as well be true and honest with Him. And part of that honest reflection is found in solitude. You say, Lord, search me and see if there be any wicked way in me. But the other thing about not just being solitude, because you can turn into a recluse where you just meditate on your navel all day long. The second requirement for honest reflection is the Bible. Would you write that in there? Because if you don't have a keen, intimate acquaintance with the Word of God, you'll end up with more questions than you have answers for. I know sometimes when I'm starting to have all these questions, what about this? What about that? Well, why is he doing this? Well, what about that? The Lord says, you know, Wayne, you're falling away from the Word. You don't have an intimate acquaintance with the Word because the Word will give you answers. And if you don't have that intimate, constant, regular acquaintance with the Bible, you'll end up with more questions than you have answers. But you see, it's the Word of God that gives you the answers. Let's read the scripture right under that where it says Bible in Psalm 119:59. Ready? Go. I considered my ways and turned my feet to your testimonies. You see, in the midst of solitude, the Bible says God will help us to consider our ways or see if there's a half-heartedness in our marriage, a half-heartedness as a father, a half-heartedness towards serving God, so that God can build a whole heart. And when you consider your ways, it says, I considered my ways and turn my feet to your testimonies. You see, if I don't know the testimonies of God or the word of God, what am I going to turn my feet to when the Lord shows that it's going in the wrong direction? That's why the Bible is a prerequisite to honest reflection. Got to be reading in the Bible. But can I say this? One of the neatest things about the Bible, I think, is not that I can study it, but when I read the Bible, it begins to study me. It shows me up. Haven't there been times you're reading and your heart just burns? Ouch. Oh, Lord. Gosh, that's hard to do. And my heart just burns. Luke 24, it happened when the two were on the road to Emmaus and Jesus was speaking the scriptures to them. And on the way back, they said to one another, boy, were not our hearts burning within us as he spoke the word to us on the road? You see, there's going to be times you're going to read the Bible and your heart's going to burn. It's probably because God's refining your heart. I remember in Hilo, a guy came to me, became a Christian and was still sort of working through some things. And he came to me one week and he said, Pastor Wayne, he said, I'm not going to come back to this church no more. I said, how come? He said, no more. I see. I said, why? Every time I come here, oh, I feel so bad on the inside. I said, is there like a burning? He said, yeah, like one hot burn. I said, good, because God's refining your heart. He said, oh, but too hot, that one. I said, because got plenty for burn up inside. But there's going to be times your heart will burn within you. Because, and that's a good sign, because you're starting to let the Bible study you. You see, otherwise we'll become like Pharisees that study the Bible and got it all down, but our hearts are far away. In fact, that's what he said about the Pharisees. You know my Bible, but my Bible doesn't know you. You study the Word, but you don't let the Word study you. You see what the Word is revealing, but you don't let the Word reveal what needs to be revealed in you. It's a one-way thing. So you know my Word, and your lips honor me, but your hearts are far away. We just came back from Israel, and it's like it was 2,000 years ago. I mean, there's people there in the Hasidic hats, the black hats, curly sideburns, long black overcoats, and it's the same thing as they were almost 2,000 years ago. I went to the Western Wall, which is that one part of the wall that was the original part of Solomon's temple still yet remaining. And so they'll pray there. They'll read their scriptures out loud. Many of them memorize most or all of the portion of the Torah, or the first five books of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. They got them in memory. And they just recite them, and they're bobbing like this, and just so amazing. Their performance is outstanding on the outside, maybe 300-400 of them. And so there's one side just for men, so I went in to pray and lay hands on the wall. And it's such an important thing, because when Solomon built the temple, God said to Solomon, if you'll pray towards this temple, I'll hear your prayers. So that's the only piece left. And so they just congregate and pray there. Pray for the peace of Israel, etc., and read the scriptures. And so I went in there too, and you got to wear the yarmulke, you know, little beanie hat thing. And for tourists, they let you wear these cardboard ones. And so I put one on, and I was praying up to the wall, Lord, and I prayed for this church and different things of the future of this church. Lord, I just need your help on this and need your wisdom on that. And I turned next to me, and there's this guy with a Hasidic Jew with a black hat and curly sideburns in his 20s or so. And he was bobbing up and down praying, sitting on a chair, though, with a desk in front of him like this. And I looked over, and I thought it looked like his prayers in English. And I was praying and trying to, because, you know, most of them are praying in Hebrew, you know, Baruch Ata Adonai Elohenu Melech HaOlam, and they're just going, and I looked, and there's English, so I tried to check it out, so I got so curious, so I said, excuse me, and he's going like this, and he's, yes, and I said, are you praying your prayers in English? Because I see your notes there, and he stopped, and he said, no, I'm studying for a test. I said, what, a test? I said, is it like a rabbi test? There's going to be a rabbi coming pretty soon and test you on something? He says, no, I go to college in town. I got a social studies test to study for. I don't okay, go for it. You know, and I just chuckled to myself. I thought, you know, it hasn't changed in 2,000 years. The outside looks so good, but he's studying for a test down the street. And then I thought, you know, Lord, could I be like that at times? Even here in New Hope, we can. We can do the same thing, can't we? Singing a song of worship and our heads are out there somewhere. I hope the surf is still up by the time this church service is called. Isn't that true? Our minds could be gone somewhere. Same thing. And what happens is God says, no, the word is so that in the midst of solitude, when I show you what's wrong and how your heart is here, I want to build a perfect heart, not a half heart, not a separated heart, not a divided heart, not a fraction of a heart serving me, but a perfect heart. No, it doesn't mean you won't make mistakes, but if you have a perfect heart and you stumble, it says, I'll vindicate you. Because what defines you is your heart. And not only the Bible, but third, would you write down there, godly counsel. Godly counsel. Oh, it's so important for you to allow people to speak into your life. People who love God and love you. Listen, let people speak into your life. People who love God and who love you in that order. Because there's people who love you but don't love God that much, and they'll give you counsel that may not be God's best. But people that love God and love you, even though it hurts a little bit, they'll give you godly counsel because they love God and love you in that order. I don't know where I'd be if I hadn't allowed people to be speaking, constantly speaking into my life. Whether it be Dan or Elwin or any of the pastors, our staff, my wife speaks into my life. She always tells me what to do. But I do get the last word in. It's yes, dear. Yes, dear. No. But we need to have people speaking into our lives. Otherwise, we can skew something and rationalize. But you see, when you have people that you allow to speak into your life who love God and love you, it always brings you back on. Because number three, one of the most important parts of developing a heart of integrity is to have set a firm course. Set a firm course. Early on, what are you going to do with your life? Are you going to serve God or not? Set a firm course. Do you want to be a man or a woman in hot pursuit after God's best? Set a firm course. And then when people speak into your life, even if it hurts, you know that it's helping you correct to that course and you'll allow it. But if you don't know the course, you don't know what to let into your life and what not to. It's like Alice in Wonderland when she went up to the card queen, and she said, which way is it? To get to Oz. And she said, well, she said, which way do I go? She said. And the queen said, well, where do you want to go? She says, I don't know. And the queen said something real poignant. She said, well, if you don't know where you're going, any road will get you there. You see, if you don't set a firm course, any road will be fine. And that's why you float your whole life and never get anywhere. A lot of activity, a lot of tears, but no direction. That's why Jesus said to his disciples, come, follow. Yeah, setting that firm course. Check with any pilot. Before they take off the tarmac, they will always have filed a flight plan. If they're going to go from Los Angeles to Seattle, before they launch, they file a flight plan. This is where I'm going. This is the attitude. This is the altitude. Everything is set. Because when they take off, they're going to go over San Jose, San Francisco. But you see, when they set the plan, they're not tempted to land in San Jose when they're flying over it. And they're not tempted to land in San Francisco, even if they like sourdough bread. You know, they're not going to land there. They're not going to land in Redding, California or Portland, Oregon. They have set the flight plan, so they're set. They don't even worry about landing in Las Vegas or going to Reno. That's not a part of their plan. But if you've not set a flight plan, I tell you, any city seems fine. And the same is true. We understand that about pilots, but we launch in life without a set plan. And the Lord says, no, you don't do that. If you want to build a heart of integrity, you've got to set your plan to follow God. Let's read the scripture. Psalm 57, 7. Ready? Go. My heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. He's saying, I can sing and praise because I have fixed my heart. Now I have time to rejoice because I know what to rejoice about. Let's read the next one. Ready? Go. Let your eyes look directly ahead and let gaze be fixed straight in front of you. Watch the path of your feet and all your ways will be established. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Turn your foot from evil. You see, when you set your heart, and it's a choice you need to make, then you begin to follow that course. But you must set your affections on the Lord. Do that, because that's one of the prerequisites of building a heart of integrity. If it's not set, then you'll drift and anything will be tempting. You can set your affection. Like with Anna, when I married her, I filed my flight plan at the altar. And I said, I'm going to love you and I'm going to be your husband from now till the day I die. So she doesn't have to worry if I'm going to be around in 20 years. I'm going to be around. I've set my affection. I've set my course, honey. I'm going to follow you around like a bad cologne. You can't shake me. You can't shake me. And so now we can get on with being friends. My heart is fixed, oh God, my heart is fixed. I will sing. Yes, I will praise. You see, the joy comes after that heart is fixed. And God is saying, that's a part of integrity. Be people quick to repent, because God's not calling us to perfect performance. He's inviting us to a perfect heart. Now, let me conclude in this way. You know, as I look at New Hope and where we're heading, we're going to keep planting churches. And you'll see from time to time different staff go out and staff leave. And it's all planned because we've chosen not to be a barren church, but a birthing church. And a sign of health is we're going to birth Keikis. And so sometimes people say, oh, well, why is this staff leaving? Why is that? Because it's a planned thing. We're really rejoicing in all of that. And we're just going to keep birthing out. So maybe we'll grow to 10, 15,000, but in 50 locations. And we can have it in many different churches, and the accumulative total may be that much. So for a while, we may stay right here at Farrington. I don't know exactly where we're going to end up. I just know that I want to follow God step by step. But listen, here it is. I'm not sure yet exactly what God's going to reveal, but here's my prayer, that in every step of the way, that we move with integrity of heart, that we do the best we can, we do it with an honest heart, then I am fully assured that whichever way we go, God's going to support us and bring about His best. God's not calling us to perfect performance. He is to a perfect heart.
You've just heard the conclusion of a message entitled Father's Day, A Heart of Integrity by Dr. Wayne Cordero. Thank you for listening.
Hi, this is Wayne Cordero. There's a church, New Hope West, right on our beautiful Bible College campus in Eugene, Oregon. It's time for the Word of God to live in each of us in a way that'll change our lives and the worlds in which we live. So join us at New Hope West on our Bible College campus, 2155 Bailey Hill Road in Eugene, Oregon. We'll see you there.
Until next time, for Pastor Wayne Cordero, this is Del Gibbs wishing you God's very best and aloha.
I believe, I'll obey, I receive all of the joy you have for me. Where you lead trust my life to you. I entrust my life to you. I believe, I'll obey, I receive all of the joy. My life to you. I entrust my life.